So anyways, today we dive into a section of scripture that I have read over so many times, and I'm sure you have. If you've ever read the Gospels, you've read through this story. I've read through it so many times, and as I was reading it this week, it jumped out at me, and I was like, that is so profound. And it's something that I just viewed as the disciples just being overzealous. Sometimes their actions were a little bit bigger than they needed to be. I think of Peter cutting an ear off or saying, I won't deny you, and then he turns around and denies Christ three times, right? Overzealous and over the top in the things that they do. And so today's sermon is titled, Rejecting Judgment. And as we prepare to get into God's Word this morning, I want to invite you to open your Bible. And if you brought your Bible this morning, you did not get a piece of candy. The basket's back there. We have candy for you. Listen, I'm trying to get rid of Kingdom Kids candy so we can buy fresh for September. So please bring your Bible every week so I can give you candy. So let me invite you to open your Bible, and I hope you have one or someone next to you has one that you can look on with, to the book of Luke, chapter 9, verses 51 through 56. And while you turn there, I've got a story to share. Once in a small town, there lived an elderly man named Thomas. Every day he would walk to a nearby village to buy groceries and essentials. I don't know why every day he's going to the grocery store, but he is, okay? One day while crossing a rickety bridge, he heard hurtful insults from a group of villagers. They scorned him for being from a different town, making him feel rejected and humiliated. The next day, Thomas returned to the same bridge, but instead of harboring anger or seeking revenge, he smiled. And he greeted the villagers warmly. He even helped repair the bridge's broken boards. Over time, Thomas's acts of kindness and love transformed the villagers' hearts. They realized the error of their ways, and they asked for forgiveness. Thomas's bridge of compassion and forgiveness became a symbol of unity and love, bridging the gap between two towns. He taught the villagers the power of forgiveness and the importance of seeing beyond differences. Let's get to our scripture this morning. As we read Luke chapter 9, let's remember Thomas's example of overcoming rejection with love. Luke 9, 51 through 56. It says this, when the days drew near for him being Jesus, to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him who went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make preparations for him. But the people did not receive him because his face was set towards Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, Lord, do you want us to tell fire to come down from heaven and consume them? But he turned and he rebuked them, and they went on to another village. Now, this is a very short section of scripture. It's easy to read right over. It's right after. It's right before the cost of following Jesus, and it's right after the disciples asked Jesus, who's the greatest? And it's tucked in there, and we've all read it, but I can't tell you that I've ever noticed this scripture the way that I have in the way that the Lord led me this week. And so it's easy to read over, and it's certainly not a story that they taught in Sunday school. I don't remember it ever being taught. Sherry, have you ever taught this scripture in Sunday school? No. Crystal, have you? No. Any other kids, teachers, anybody? I have literally never heard this scripture taught in Sunday school. And it's probably not one that we have committed to memory. It's probably just, it's a verse that's there. Just like, I, if you do, you're going to really impress me. Does anybody have the beginning of Matthew, the genealogy, memorized? Right? We treat it the same way. It's there, but it's information, but is it necessary? And I would argue that as we go, we're going to find out that it is. And I'm sure that today, you'll remember this scripture moving forward. You'll remember this story and how it applies. Let's first set the standard that we know that all scripture is what? God breathed. It's breathed out by God, and it is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. So that's the base. Okay? We all agree to that. So with that in mind, there's something in this scripture today in Luke chapter 9, verses 51 through 56 that we can apply to our lives today. This is a unique situation that we have here. And so let me give you just a short history lesson. There's a lesson or a history lesson to be had between the Jews and the Samaritans, what their relationship is. So what we need to understand is the Samaritans were a mixed race of descendants that originated from the intermarriage of Old Testament Israelites who were left behind when Israel was conquered and exiled by the Assyrians in 722 BC. So 722 years before Christ, when the Assyrians conquered, they hauled off a vast majority of the Israelites, but they left some behind. And then the Assyrians brought in other folks and transplanted them in. So the people that were left here intermarried, had kids, had families, the whole thing. And so that is who the Samaritans are. And as since the return of the Jews, so when the Jews were brought back to their homeland many years later, that's when hostility started. Because you had the Jews, and then you had the Samaritans. The contention was still strong during Jesus' time, 722 years later, as we see in our scripture today. Because the Jews considered the Samaritans to be spiritually inferior to them. Because they were not full-blooded Jews. They had intermarried, they had mixed, they had altered their bloodline, if you will. Samaritan attacks, therefore, were a serious threat to Jews who traveled towards Jerusalem to observe religious festivals. So in essence, we have an extended family feud here. Their family, right? Like, many times removed, I'm sure. We have a family feud. And the Jews were prejudiced toward the Samaritans and viewed them not as important as they were or not as holy as they were. Because, well, you're not God's chosen people because you intermarried with other nations. The Samaritans rejected Jesus, the scripture tells us, because he had his face turned towards Jerusalem. There's a couple of different interpretations of what this can mean. One, he's a Jew. They don't like Jews. Two, the Samaritans, if you look a little bit deeper, the Samaritans to the Jews, they argued about which mountain to worship on. Some suggest that the Samaritans were hopeful that Jesus was going to establish a temple in there, not the Jewish side. So depending on how we want to interpret what that means, essentially, though, it's because he was a Jew going to Jerusalem. So they rejected Jesus. Not because they knew who he was, we don't know, but because he was a Jew. And it wasn't Jesus directly that they rejected, was it? Who did Jesus send ahead of him? Messengers. He sent a group in ahead of him, and they rejected them. But in rejecting them and their message, meaning they didn't receive him, in essence, they rejected Christ. Because the Samaritans wouldn't receive Jesus and wouldn't receive the group traveling with him, the disciples wanted to call on fire to fall down. Let me repeat that so we can grasp the gravity of the response here. The disciples wanted to call down fire to destroy the Samaritans' village because they refused to host Jesus. Have you ever refused to host somebody? Have they ever called fire down on your house, right? The disciples specifically, Luke names them, James and John. Not Jesus, James and John wanted to call down fire to destroy them. Now, Where am I going with all this? Because there's two lessons here that I believe that we can grab from this scripture today that God wants to bring to our attention this morning. The first one is this: rejection. Rejection. As Christians, we have to understand that we are messengers of Christ. We are messengers of Christ. When we profess faith in Jesus, when we accept His forgiveness, and we accept Him as Lord of our life, we become His ambassadors. We represent Him in all that we say and all that we do. Can we all agree to that this morning? So as we go about daily life, it's inevitable that we're likely going to face rejection. We're going to be rejected. Now, it may not be because of our message. It could be because we live in a complicated world and everybody has an opinion about everything now. You could be rejected because of your gender. You could be rejected because of your race. You could be rejected because of your heritage. You could be rejected because of your last name. You could be rejected because of your economic status. You could be rejected because of your political beliefs. Simply because some people, right or wrong, refuse to listen, refuse to hear, or refuse to interact because of a person's attributes. Now, go back to our message, because we will face rejection simply because we associate ourselves with Jesus Christ. We will be rejected because we are known as Christians. A person may accept everything about you, your gender, your last name, your everything, your political beliefs. They may accept everything about you, but they will reject you simply because of your message. When we boldly share the gospel, when we share the gospel message and we proclaim the death and resurrection of Jesus for our sins, we may be rejected. We may be persecuted. Not because of anything that we have done, but because it makes that person come to terms with their sin and their understanding that they need a Savior to be made right. It requires them to rely on someone else to make their life right. The Bible tells us in Luke 10:16, so this is right after 9:51 through 56, it says this. This is Jesus. The one who hears you hears me. And the one who rejects you rejects me. And the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me. So if you face rejection, they are not rejecting you, they are rejecting Jesus. And by rejecting Jesus, they are rejecting God. Should we expect to be rejected? Absolutely. Every day we should expect to be rejected. Does anybody like rejection? Does anybody just really enjoy rejection? If you're a salesperson in here, you'll understand what I'm talking about next. PJ, you probably more better than anybody in here. You have to go through a lot of no's before you get to a yes, don't you? Sometimes. Sometimes it takes a lot of no's before you get to one good yes. And this is where my sales career has benefited me, because you do hear a lot of no's, but it only takes one yes to make up for all the no's. Okay? As a salesperson, you become used to rejection to a point. And you understand there's an understanding that comes with it, that 9 times out of 10, they're rejecting what you are selling, not rejecting you. For many, rejection seems personal. So when the no comes, the rejection comes, it's a personal thing. We take it personally, like they've been attacked. And that may be the case in sometimes. But 9 times out of 10, they're rejecting what you're saying. They're not rejecting you. However, we shouldn't avoid boldly proclaiming the gospel. That should not impact us sharing the gospel, telling others about Jesus. Has Jesus saved you from the darkest corners of sin and death and brought you to victory and in light? Are you guys awake this morning? Has Jesus pulled you out of the depths of hell? Then you have something to tell. You have something to say about how He's changed your life. Because He has changed each and every one of your lives different than how He's changed my life. He has done differently in your life than He's done in my life. Ken, can I tell anybody your testimony and have it be as meaningful as if you tell it? Dave? Jane? Jerry? Is your testimony anything like mine? Do you have a testimony? Yeah. Jesus has pulled us all out of the depths of hell, and we have been changed by Him. We know what He can do for us, and if He can do it for us, can He do it for them? He can do it for them. And so we must share the message and don't shy away from it because you don't like to be rejected. In fact, I would submit to you today that we should embrace rejection and we should embrace persecution. Why? Because it's part of being a Jesus follower. It goes with the territory because at the end of the day, we have to understand, for if they are rejecting you, they are rejecting Jesus. They are not rejecting us. Comes to our second point this morning. Judgment. What is our natural response to rejection? It's generally to make a determination or a judgment about that person. Oh, I don't want to hear the gospel. I'm never going to tell them again. And oftentimes it leads us to a spot where we harbor resentment in our hearts towards them. Because we have been rejected, so then we pass judgment on them. Play this mind game with me here. Think of your favorite sports team. If you don't like sports, kind of like me, I don't follow sports. You can talk sports to me and I have no idea. I'm just going to shake my head yes and smile and be happy that you're happy about it, but I have no idea what you're talking about. Think of your favorite sports team, your favorite singer, or your favorite brand. If I said that team is terrible, that singer isn't charismatic and doesn't deserve the following they have. I couldn't find an insultful thing to say. I don't want to insult, but let's just pretend that's really insulting. They don't deserve the following they have. Or that brand is pretty pretentious. That means you're a higher class than me and you're sporting it. What if someone said that your spouse or your child isn't this or that? What do you do? You defend, don't you? You instantly come in to defend. You fight, quote unquote, you fight for what you believe in or love. You might even resent me for rejecting or not supporting the thing that you believe and support. You might not like me now because I told you I don't like sports. This happens when we find ourselves extremely loyal or we hold great enthusiasm for people or things. This is exactly what the disciples did. This is where James and John were. Upon the messengers coming back and saying, hey, they don't want you there. They don't want to put you up. They don't want to host you. Instantly, James and John had resentment in their heart towards the Samaritans. They resented them. And their loyalty and enthusiasm for Christ caused them to pass judgment and even suggest violent death for those who rejected Jesus. Think of the gravity of that situation. We don't know which Samaritan village it is. It is unnamed for a purpose in Scripture. We have no idea. It's unnamed, therefore, we don't know. We don't know if this village knew Jesus. We don't know if Jesus had passed through before. None of that is told to us. What we know is that he tried to stop, and they did not want him. And this is really where we have to be careful. Because the disciples, upon that rejection, what did they do? They passed judgment. Instantly wrote him off. They made a judgment, and essentially they gave up on that whole village who didn't know Christ. Or to put it this way, they gave up on those who are spiritually lost. Imagine with me, if you will, if the disciples had the power outside of Jesus' authority to call on fire from heaven, and they did so, they would have condemned many people to eternal punishment, which is what? Total separation from God the Father. They would have passed judgment on them. And church, listen, this is not for us. This is not for us. Rather, it is God's place to judge people in the end. Now, there is a difference between believer and unbeliever. We're to judge the believer, and we're to correct them. The unbeliever, they don't know any better. Why would they adhere to what Scripture says when they don't even believe in Jesus? So how can we judge them by our beliefs if they don't share the same beliefs? We still know the truth that they need Jesus, but we can't judge them and hold them based off of our beliefs and our understanding when they're not there yet. And I hope everybody can share in this sentiment, but I am so glad that not everyone in my life judged me and gave up on me. Because I would not be here today had somebody given up on me. But instead, they continued to share the gospel message with me. So here's what we have to know. Until the end, until that day when Jesus parts the clouds and he comes and he takes the church home, it is our place to continue to reach out to people with the love and message of Jesus Christ. I wonder, I don't want to show up hands here because I don't want you to think this is going somewhere where it's not and then, you know, wish you hadn't raised your hand. I wonder if any of us here have been rejected. I wonder if any of us here have been rejected before and we quit sharing the gospel with somebody for fear of them rejecting us again. I wonder if we have had that same attitude as the disciples did towards the Samaritans when they rejected Jesus. Because so-and-so doesn't attend our church. So-and-so doesn't share in our beliefs. Or so-and-so, they don't live the life the way they should. They're living in sin and they need to get right or they're going to hell. Have we written off a people or a person based on our perceived supremacy over them? Meaning, we are right with God, we're Christians, they're not, we're better than them, and they rejected me once, I'm not going to say anything to them again. Because if we have made that determination, we have passed judgment on that person. We are essentially calling fire from heaven for eternal punishment. Yep.
You know, that fine line.
Yep.
Don't want that crowd around, which is not rejecting you.
Yep.
But you for grandkids, not for such
a
fine line.
Yep. Those are the ones supposed to show love to. Yep. And there may be other people in her life that are going to share that gospel message. But that doesn't mean that we ever quit living it or quit sharing or being that light to those around us. And sometimes we're separated from that situation. but we still share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can take that offline and talk further about that. But in just the way we live, Jane, is enough to tell people about Jesus. So last night we helped John last night with inflatables in Soli at Coline. They had I wasn't working, but I went out to watch fireworks and I ended up seeing like 3 fireworks because we were busy rolling up inflatables. But I was talking to Caitlin's husband, Cody, and he had mentioned that it was probably a good thing I wasn't there earlier because there was some guy on his phone in the middle of all the inflatables around all the kids using language unbecoming of an adult around children, and just not a great place for him to even have that conversation. With that being said, actions are just as loud as our words. And so I would submit that the way we carry ourselves, the way we hold ourselves, and we set boundaries. So if you go back several weeks when we talked about setting boundaries, we have to have certain boundaries in our life that protect those around us who need protected. But that doesn't mean the light of Jesus still doesn't shine through our life. And so every situation is different. I get that. I understand that. Still let the light of Jesus shine. Because at the end of the day, I know that you want her in heaven. I know that you want her to be in a relationship with Jesus Christ. That may not be mom that leads her there, but it may be mom that leads her there because of the way mom chooses to live her life. Okay? So we're going to be praying for her, but know that we don't shut off the gospel message because we face rejection. Understand that they are not rejecting us, they are rejecting Jesus. If we have passed judgment on a person and said, "I'm done, we're not doing it, I'm done telling them about Jesus or telling others not to tell them about," whatever that situation may be, if we have, we must heed the rebuke of Jesus of the disciples in verse 55. It says, "But Jesus turned and rebuked them." What does the word rebuke here mean? It means to admonish, to charge sharply, or to reprimand. Jesus reprimanded James and John for their suggestion of calling down fire on the Samaritan village. Did he have every right and authority to do so? Sure. He probably knew their hearts better than we did. We know that he does. But he rebuked them. And this, here's what this tells us. It tells us that it is not our place to judge unbelievers. It is not our place to make those decisions for Jesus Christ. It is simply our responsibility to share the love of Jesus. To be the light. After all, I think we could all raise our hands to this one. All of us here were once unbelievers. Nobody was born believing. And because we all needed to hear the gospel message of Jesus Christ. So how does this play out in our lives here in New Sharon and our surrounding communities? I understand that we're not just New Sharon. We're Oski, we're Grinnell, we're Des Moines, we're all kinds of areas here. And so how does this play out in our lives? And here's the thing. The lesson of our mission, or the lesson of today's sermon, is our mission statement: engaging our community for Jesus. It means that we share the gospel in every aspect, in every way, and completely unhindered to all who would hear. We don't quit because we're rejected. We don't quit because they rejected Jesus. Until Jesus comes back for his church, it is not too late. There is still hope to be had for those who have been rejecting you and rejecting Jesus to come into a relationship with Jesus. I'm curious if we all reflect on our life, on our faith journey and where we started in our relationship with God, how many times did we have to hear the gospel message before we understood that we needed Jesus? Was it the first time? Or was it the 50th time? Was it the 500th time that somebody told you? Did your parents drag your butt to church every Sunday and make you sit down and be good? But it still took until you were 21 years old, on your own, going through life and understood, I can't do this without Jesus. Sometimes it takes time to stick. So it's never too late to continue to share the gospel. If you go out this back door or this side door and you walk over to our house on the north side, we have five plants. I don't even remember what they are. I don't know if they're marigolds. Somebody tell me what they are. Alicia knows, she kept the tags. But anyways, we have five plants over there. When you drive by, you'll see three. But I promise there's five. The two outside and the one in the middle have just grown like crazy. The other two are like 3 inches tall and they're not doing anything, but guess what? They're still green. They're still green. And guess what? What I could do is pull them out and say, well, that was a lost cause, but I hold hope that before the first frost this fall, they're going to do something. In the same way, we should hold out hope for those that we share the gospel message with. That they'll do something before Jesus comes back. We should hope that they will eventually grab hold and step into and grow into a relationship with Jesus. Because this is what engaging our community for Jesus is. Joel, if you want to come on up. If you guys would, I would just ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes, and just be attentive to what the Lord is speaking and what He's speaking to your heart right now. You might be here today because somebody invited you. You might be here today because you're trying to find purpose in life. You're not sure where things are and how things are going and what life is. And this is just a lot of heartache right now. Here's what I can tell you. God is calling you to Him. It's no mistake that you're here today. Because Jesus died on the cross and He rose again 3 days later to defeat sin, to defeat death, and defeat the grave, so that we might have life in Him. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. So whether this is in a brand new way or this is in a fresh way, I want to encourage you. We're going to have a moment here of prayer if you so choose to take part. This is our opportunity to say, Jesus, I need you. I understand that I can't do this life without you, and I'm ready to live my life for you. I'm ready to do life with you. So if that's you this morning, would you just raise your hand? Whether this is in a brand new way or a fresh way, I'd like to pray with you. Amen. Amen. Church, would you pray with me? Repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need your grace. Please forgive me. I believe that you died and rose again for my sin. I commit my life to you from this moment forward. Change me. Create in me a new heart and help me to share the gospel. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Church, I'd like you to know we had three people for a new, fresh way, and we had one person. So four people this morning have raised their hands. I say praise the Lord for that. Church, we're going to do something here as we close. And I'm going to ask you a question. I want you to respond to yourself. But I want you to be attentive to what the Lord is speaking this morning. Have you been like James and John? Have you acted like James and John, where you judged unbelievers and you wished for their demise? Or have you been rejected? And because we don't like rejection, we have avoided telling others about Jesus. Instead, we've chosen to place ourselves in a little box. And as long as nobody asks me about my faith, I don't have to talk about it. This morning, it's time to ask God for forgiveness. It's time to love unbelievers. It's time to love them the way that He does. And it's time that we tell others about Him. And we can do this when we understand that when we face rejection, they are not rejecting you. They are rejecting Jesus. So as we close in worship today, I want to encourage you to take time. Take time. Bow your head where you're at. Be in prayer. Take time and approach the altar. And I would ask this, would you ask God, each and every one of you, would you ask God to give you the opportunity to share the gospel message this week? But would you also ask Him to look at your heart, to reveal and to deal with any resentment, bitterness, or any judgment that you might have in your heart towards unbelievers this morning?